Welcome to Responsa Radio, where you ask and we answer questions of Jewish law in modern times. We are recording live at Limud, New York, which is extremely exciting for us, and it's also our first time ever recording this show with a live audience. So thank you to all of you for coming in today.
Thanks for coming out.
I'm Rabbi Avi Killip, and I'm here with Rabbi Ethan Tucker, who is Rosh Yeshiva at Machon Hadar, a center for higher Jewish learning based in New York City.
Hello, Avi. Great to be back with you.
Enjoying your weekend so far here at Limud?
Fantastic. Everything's great. People great, food great, lack of sunlight, terrific.
I don't think there was sunlight outside anyway,
That's fair enough.
We're not missing much. So I want to start with a question that someone sent in that relates to Shabbat. So we'll start with this question. I am a university student. Is it okay for me to attend class on Shabbat or Yom Tov? Also, is it okay to read books or articles that I need to read for school on Shabbat? On the one hand, I'm just reading, and I could argue that I'm reading just for the sake of it. On the other hand, this is kind of preparation on Shabbat for something after Shabbat, since I'm prepping for an exam or a paper. And does the subject matter of the class matter? If I'm taking an exam in Bible, for example, versus physics, does that make a difference?
It's a great question. Brings me back to my undergraduate days and when the holidays all fell out on Monday and Tuesday. Maybe we can break it down from two different angles. First, think about what does it mean to be attending a class and trying to learn something, basically for a trade or some kind of professional development. In the case of, you know, someone taking an exam, they're doing it in order to advance something about their life and potentially their livelihood. And then the question really what I hear here is, what kind of appropriate reading material is there on Shabbat? I think the preparation question will be taken care of in the first context as well. So this is a question that came up plenty of times, which was essentially, it's not allowed to do work on Shabbat, right? You can't do melacha, an actual like physical action that's forbidden. But what if you are passing, you're walking down the street, and you see someone who is an incredible woodworker, and they have some technique that you want to learn, and you can only do it by basically stopping there and watching them and kind of figuring out what's this craft and essentially making a mental note of it so you can learn it later. Is that forbidden or okay on Shabbat? So there's actually roots of this question already back in the Talmud, but the first time it really gets taken up seriously is in the Middle Ages. The Trumat HaDeshen, Rav Yisrael Iserlein, in 15th century Austria, takes a position that it is clearly totally permissible to watch someone perform melacha on Shabbat in order to learn that skill. Now, that's interesting for two reasons. One, it really directly dispenses with the preparation question, because the only reason that this person could be doing this on Shabbat is to prepare for some kind of further action after Shabbat. That doesn't bother the Trumat HaDeshen. It seems like learning is never understood to be a real act of preparation. Like, yeah, packing a suitcase or any number of other things might fall in that category, but learning is not processed that way. More interestingly, though, it's deemed by him not to be forbidden on Shabbat to engage in learning of something, which were you to do it on Shabbat would be a total core violation. So that's kind of the first take on this question. And plenty of later authorities, like the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, some other modern authorities, weigh in and support that position. What's interesting is with the advent of modernity, you start to get some people who are skittish about this. So another very famous posek, Rav Yaakov Emden, is asked about someone who really wants to learn surgery, wants to learn how to be a surgeon. And the only way he can do this is essentially by observing various kinds of doctors, you know, dissecting cadavers and maybe doing various live things on Shabbat. And interestingly, Rav Yaakov Emden is like completely opposed to this. And he says, yeah, you could argue, you're doing nothing, you're standing around, maybe it's like the case of the Trumat HaDeshen. But he says that at the end of the day, first of all, he's concerned you're going to end up getting involved in the activity, and it's going to suck you into doing various things that are forbidden on Shabbat. And you also get here a sense, which I think is really important in the dynamics of these questions, it's not clear how much he values surgery. I'm not sure how many of us would value 18th century surgery either. And that's why it's particularly striking that a couple hundred years later, the Chalkat Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breisch, who is a Swiss posek, already now in the 20th century, has a very strong tshuva arguing that it must be permissible for those who are going to medical school to observe various kinds of things on Shabbat as part of their training. But very clearly underlying his whole theory is he wants there to be observant doctors. And he even says this. He says, we can't have a Jewish community that will not have any people who are observant be doctors. That will lead to all kinds of other religious
observant
problems.
Meaning observant of mitzvot, not observant of surgeries.
That is correct. Okay. Not just paying attention, but actually religious doctors. And that actually, I think, gets to this. Some of the question with whether we allow people to learn a trade on Shabbat will also hinge on how much do we think it's so important for them to learn that during the week, right? The more that you think there is a value to being a doctor, the Chalkat Yaakov very intensely says, learning how to earn a livelihood for oneself is a kind of mitzvah. And therefore, to make an exception to at least be in a passive role of learning that on Shabbat, he thinks has to be permitted. But I think very transparently it's because he thinks it's good to learn to be a surgeon. And this is not just from the perspective of a parent who doesn't want their Jewish kid to be a doctor. So that, I think, is kind of one axis. You definitely have, unless it's a subject matter that we're not so sure we want this person learning this at all, the notion of being in a passive place, a passive stance in order to experience mentorship and teaching to get those skills is certainly permitted in an ad hoc way where it sort of happens to you without planning it. I've suggested in people I've counseled about this, thinking about Yom Tov dates that happen to fall out on a Tuesday is very different than signing up for a class on a Saturday where you know week after week that that's going to be a problem.
Although you do have calendars, so you do know that your class, that the Chagim will fall on that Tuesday,
yeah,
right?
So you can't really say it was totally unexpected, but I think the argument I was trying to make is, but you didn't choose a class which is all about meeting on problematic days for study. It's like, against your desire, a couple of the dates happen to conflict, and if you had been scheduling a class, you might have made an exception. It feels a little different from a class on Shabbat, but even the Shabbat class or the Shabbat learning space, that, I think, is something that the Chalkat Yaakov reminds us. The more important and critical we think it is for someone to gain that skill on a Tuesday, the more open we can be and perhaps ought to be to them passively gaining it on Shabbat when it's the only way for them to learn that.
So that makes me wonder if it matters how much I like the class. You know, could I say, well, this class is always a waste of time for me, therefore I shouldn't go, or this class is actually useful and valuable, therefore I should go?
Yeah, well, I think in the context of liberal arts education, it potentially provides a useful critique of, am I really going to have not learned something by not going to this class? There's probably a disappointingly high number of liberal arts courses where missing 2 to 3 classes does not penalize you that much. And I don't just mean on your grade, but I mean on your actual learning. But the more that it really feels like an indispensable part of your education, the more room there is here. Now, I think there's a different element here, which when the person here gets into reading and the question of physics versus Bible, etc., which goes to what's the proper subject matter that is okay to read on Shabbat, and are there any limitations on that? So here, surprisingly, I think most people don't know this, but that the Mishnah actually is very clear that it is forbidden to read ketuvim, the writings, on Shabbat. In other words, we actually, for a real reason, only read the Torah and then the Haftarah from the Nevi'im. There's a sense in which, for the rabbinic sages, the writings, part of the Tanakh, is almost like secular literature.
Right? It's history.
It's history, but it's like the Book of Esther's in there. It doesn't even have God's name. There's all these historical pieces. There's Mishle, which almost just reads like secular wisdom literature. And there's a sense of, that's not for Shabbat, which is God's day. And that gets whittled down.
So that's going to rule out pretty much everything.
That's going to rule, you would think, right? Once, if you can't read a third of the Bible, pretty much you can't read anything else. Now, that gets whittled down, right? In the sense that already in the Talmud, there's a discussion, well, maybe they only mean that when the Beit Midrash is functioning and some teacher is giving a really good class in Torah or in Haftarah or something like that, then it's forbidden to go off and do your own leisure reading. But if that's the only thing you can do at that point, well, sure, it's fine. So that kind of opens up this later debate. And it's interesting, we often think certain personalities always take a certain stance. Like if I asked you, what do you think Rambam's position is on learning philosophy on Shabbat? You would say what?
I always assume that Rambam's going to say no, but Rambam loves philosophy.
But Rambam loves philosophy, right? You would think, like, Rambam would say, actually, the highest way of communing with God is to learn philosophy. Of course you would do that on Shabbat. So surprisingly, Rambam says absolutely no. You may not learn science or philosophy on Shabbat. Those are worthy pursuits for the other 6 days. Not on that day. And if it were up to him, the answer would have been
And he
no.
values medicine, we know.
That's correct. But Shabbat's not the time for it, right? I think we can ask the question, is it in part because he values philosophy so much, he almost imagines if you start reading philosophy on Shabbat, like, forget it. You're never going to even read the Parsha. It might even reflect his own biases. But the Rambam says no. The Rashba, in an interesting tshuva, is asked by someone, can I work with an astrolabe on Shabbat? A scientific instrument used for measuring latitude and looking at the stars and all these things. And the Rashba says, yeah, why would that be forbidden? That's no different than reading philosophy, which is obviously fine. And so you see the Rashba comes out on the side of saying, anything that's chuchmah, that's some kind of wisdom, which isn't intrinsically desecrating of the day, why shouldn't we allow that? The Shulchan Aruch comes down and rules in an anonymous way, as it were, like the Rambam, and just brings his position, and then says, but the Rashba says it's okay. And then you see one Ashkenazi posek after the other saying, yeah, people follow the Rashba on this. Everyone relies on the Rashba to read the New York Times, to do all sorts of things. So here I think the respectable answer is really to say, if you grew up reading newspapers on Shabbat, there's really no reason not to read almost anything that contributes wisdom and learning on Shabbat. But there is this very strong strand in the tradition to try to make a division between what it is we encounter on Shabbat and the rest of the week. And I would say it would seem to me healthy, and I know people who are very strict about this, that if you can structure your study such that you are not depending on Shabbat, and only when you feel you're behind the eight ball do you get into that kind of situation, that might be the right balance.
So you mentioned maybe a consideration of, you know, is there a great shiur happening at the same time, which makes me wonder, is there any element here of what you would be missing if you do this other activity? If you go to that class, are you missing out on your Shabbat experience in some other way? I don't know if that ever comes up or plays out here.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I haven't seen that dimension specifically drawn out, but you get into these questions of subjectivity almost inexorably of, like, what's your experience going to be? What else are you going to miss out? But there is that notion of, I think maybe we could put it this way, the community has some responsibility to provide people with positive Torah and learning opportunities on Shabbat. And then the question of how much the individual has to hew to that at every moment, that's where some of the flex comes into the system.
Great, thanks.
Responsa Radio is a project of the Center for Jewish Law and Values at Mahon Hadar and is produced by Jewish Public Media, which creates, curates, and promotes excellent Jewish content and is funded in part by Next and Natan. If you have a halachic question you'd like answered on the show, email us at halacha@mahonhadar.org. You can also leave us a voicemail at 215-297-4254.